Husband's mother was put to rest yesterday. Great service and great accomplishments in her life. She was very active in the church, according to reports, and did some great things for the Lord. But we thank you for your prayers and your support. The church is always up and standing by and with everyone, and we appreciate that a lot. Last Sunday, you know, I spoke about preparation, how God sent John the Baptist, the baptizer, to prepare the way. Back in that time, when a king, a high official, especially the king, was coming to town, they did not have the communication systems and technology that we have today, so they would have a man that was called the town crier, who would run ahead of the king as he came on his horse or in his carriage, and he would run ahead, saying that, you know, the king is coming. He would just shout so people would know. They would come beside the road and they would bow down as the king come by. So John was the crier, announcing. And his message was, the gist, he was doing a lot of baptism, the gist of his message was, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's coming. Prepare his way, he's here, actually. And when Jesus came to be baptized by John, you would say, hold it, I know who you are, you need to baptize me. And you know, Jesus said, thus it you become all righteousness to be fulfilled. So he did it, and that was a great example for all of us who have been baptized also. And so we're talking about preparing. You and I need to be preparing now for the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. So, or the coming of Christ for the church. Today I want to talk about trust. Trust. Trusting God. Many people proclaim to be Christians, but not many Christians trust God, really. As long as things are going well. As long as you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you say, praise the Lord. And you shout and carry on. As long as the bills are all paid up and everything is going well, we're good. But when things start to go wrong, we say things that we are ashamed of later on. We do things sometimes we're ashamed of because we really don't trust God. You need to trust Him in the good times and the bad times. And just thank Him for it, even when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We need to thank God. I want to give definition. Like I told you last Sunday, I'm not trying to insult your intellect, but I know you know these things, but just let's look at it. Bear with me. Definition for trust. And if you look in your Bible dictionary or concordance, you'll see that if you look up for the definition for trust, it'll tell you also see faith. Because they're the same, they're in the same boat. Listen carefully. Trust is a firm belief in the one being trusted. A firm belief in the person or the one being trusted. Of course, we're talking about God. The result of confident expectation and dependence. That's trust. Confident expectation and dependence. Trust means hope. And that's what hope is for the Christian. Now, the world's definition for hope is, you know, I hope so. When the world says that, I hope so is my, you know, it's different from the Christian's definition of hope. Our hope is confident expectation. When we pray, we are confident that God hears and answers prayer. He says so. He keeps His promises and His covenants. But not only that, trust is reliance on someone. And in our case, reliance on God. Trust is to believe in someone, to swear by, to depend upon someone, to expect help from someone, to lean on someone, to have no doubt, to rest assured that it's coming to pass, to have no reservations. So when you go to God, praise the Lord, are you getting this? Should be no reservation. Should be no doubts in your heart. No matter how it looks, to rely on, to put your faith in. Here we go, see, faith, trust. To put your faith in God. To count on. To look to. To put great stock in someone or something. Lord have mercy. To bank on. To take one's word. And that's the definition for faith. That's the best definition you can find for faith. Faith is what? Taking God at his word. That's faith. Taking God at his word. If he said it, he's going to do it. And you can go to sleep on that. You can bank on it. If God said it, he's going to do it. That's faith and trust in God. That's why Daniel was not afraid when they threatened to throw him in a den of hungry lions, but he opened his window three times and they prayed to God, put it in the hand of God. Are you putting your situation in God's hand? Circumstances, situation? Are you putting it in God's hand? We love and respect the doctors. But then again, you know, watch this now. So Deborah, doctor went in, he came back out, so everything went well. But he didn't say, okay, Deborah, go home. He couldn't do that because the healing wasn't done yet from the incision and the stuff that they did. Who brings the healing? The healing comes from God. We thank God for the doctors and for medicine, but the healing comes from God. You still have to wait for God to bring the healing. Confident expectation. See, not the world's definition. The world's definition is wishful thinking. Wishful thinking. Well, I hope so. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. Oh, Lord. What kind of stuff is that? Confident expectation. He said it. And so Daniel said, go ahead, throw me in the den. King said, are you all right? Yes. God sent an angel and fed those lions. Shut the lion's mouth. The three Hebrew boys said, go ahead, throw us in the fire. We don't care. If we die, then, you know, if it's God's will, we die. We don't care. We don't care. But just go ahead. Do what you want to do. We're not going to bow down and worship you. The king was shocked. He said, didn't we throw three in there? I know I can count. I just counted and it looked like four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. I'm trying to tell you that even in the fire, you can count on God. You can count on him no matter how fiery your situation gets. No matter how dark it gets, count on God. He keeps his promises and his covenant. So let's take this morning, I want to take another look at the Christmas story. And this time I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2 with me. And we're going to read from verse 25 to 35. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 25. We want to look at Simeon, the old man, and Anna, the prophetess. Father, in Jesus' name, we open our hearts to you. We ask you to speak to our hearts and minds. Remove every distraction. And help us to focus on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from verse 25, Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Notice how it's going to mention the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit. Here we go. Into the temple. God's Holy Spirit will lead you when you are really trusting in God. And when God wants to use you, the Holy Spirit is there. Notice this, we're still under the Old Testament. The New Covenant had not come in yet. Christ didn't, that didn't happen until Christ died on the cross. So, it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. You and I have the Holy Spirit in us. And all through the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the Holy Spirit came, read through the Old Testament. But now, the promise was that he will be in us and will lead and guide us. There's a difference. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Now he dwells in us and he leads. Watch this now. I'm in 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. That's Simeon the old man. Blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. I had to memorize that as a boy in the Episcopal Church, called the Nunc Dimittis, because the Nunc Dimittis was the first letter in the Latin. Nunc Dimittis. Those are the words, the song of Simeon. This old man was devout, meaning he was righteous, meaning he was dedicated, and he was serious about his commitment with God. Notice now, he trusted God. Said he was an old man. He waited on God all those years, trusting God. Perhaps people laughed at him like they do some of us today when we talk about Christ coming again, the second coming, or the people back in Peter's day. I believe it was 2 Peter chapter 3, where they were scoffing and laughing and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Because since our fathers fell asleep, everything is the same. He haven't come yet. Peter said, but they forgot one thing. 1,000 years with God is what? A day. And a day is like my Lord. Okay. I'm in verse 33 now. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. For the downfall and the rising of many. When you are in Christ, listen. There is no middle ground. There is no compromise. If you're in Christ, there's going to be a rising in your life. If you're not in Christ, you're going to fall. There's no middle ground. He'll be a sign of rising and fall of many. Many will accept Christ. Many will not accept him. And a sword will pierce your heart. Mary is standing at the foot of the cross, tears running down her eyes. As her son Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus said, John, take care of mother. I'm in verse 36. Now, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for the redemption of Israel. So here is Anna, and she's a prophetess. Prophets and the prophetess is not only predicted the future, but they were one who proclaimed the word of God. Foretell. In the New Testament, prophets is in that area of forthtelling, proclaiming. But here is this lady, very impressive. But there might be doubt sometime in our hearts. But if you truly believe in God, if you truly, underline truly, believe in God, doubts will come. Because we're still human beings. But if you truly believe in God, those doubts will pass away. Go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And all the names listed in there, many of them had doubts. For instance, Moses. Hebrews 11 mentions Moses and Abraham and all the other. Well, let's look at Abraham first of all. When God told him he was going to be the father of a son in his old age and the father of many in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17, if you have your Bible. Genesis 17, 17. Listen to what it says. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, my wife, shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear a son, get pregnant? But Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14 says, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? Watch out now. See, when God tells you to do something, or when you're faced with your problem, you got to remember that there is nothing that this world can bring up in your life, or mine, that is too hard for God. You've got to trust him. That's the message God sent today. Trust God in every situation. No matter how it looks. I've been looking back over my life in recent times, over the ministry of the church. 45 years here in Compton. There haven't always been good times. There's been some dark pages. There were times when I felt like giving up. I really did. When I had family problems and went back to the islands. For that year, I went back giving up. I walked out of the door with tears in my eyes. The old lady said, you'll be back. You just watch it. You'll be back. And I, in my heart, I said, that old woman's crazy. That was my buddy. That's what I said. That old woman is crazy. I'm going home to get a job, raise my kids, and die. That's what I said, walking to my car. And there were other times when I wondered and asked the same question like some of you have, why? Why? I've asked that question just like some of you. But if you truly believe in God, you'll get beyond that. It is only if you really, truly have not given your heart to God that you fall. So Abraham, he fell on his face. Not only that, but his wife Sarah, when she heard about it, the Bible said that she also laughed within herself. See that we think only about the human side. We think only about what we see and what we can understand. We fail to remember that with God, nothing shall be impossible, that he is God Almighty. And then we have so many examples, man, of people who have gone through things and have come through with a smile. Moses. When God told them to return to Egypt and to lead his people out, Moses said in Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, you see Moses respond. God is telling him now, go, he saw the bush burning, couldn't understand it because the fire was there, but the bush was not consumed, just kept on burning. He says, let me step aside and see this thing. That was good. A lot of people hear God calling, but they don't listen. They see the work of his hand, but don't respond. And so Moses stepped aside and he said, wow, God said, take off your shoes from off your feet. You're walking on holy ground and so forth. Then God said, I want you to go back to Egypt. And notice what he says in Exodus chapter 3. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Who am I? I can't do that. And thank God, that's a good response because that shows humility. That shows humility. But then again, he says, whom shall I tell them sent me. You're sending me to Pharaoh. If you do not act right or say the right thing or even appear in front of these guys without permission, heads rolled. What shall I tell him? Who am I going to tell him sent me? You know God's answer. Tell him I am that I am. I am that I am. And so the Israelites, when they were faced with problems in the wilderness, they said in Exodus chapter 16, Exodus chapter 16, around from verse 1 through 3. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness and said, listen to what they said. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. Later on they told him, say, man, at least we had leeks and onions and melons and all that stuff down. Why you brought us to die in the desert? Doubts. Gideon, Judges chapter 6. The story is in Judges chapter 6. Gideon, when he told that he would be a judge and a leader, he was scared to death. You know, he put out his fleece and everything, but God used him. He didn't give up. He didn't walk away. Then we come to the New Testament. Zacharias, the priest. The priest. Serving God, it happens to us too. It happened to us, doctor. It happens to us too. Here's Zacharias. He's told that he was going to have a son. And he responded almost in the same way in Luke chapter 1. Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is stricken in years. How am I going to know that we're going to have a son? We need to look beyond human limitation. And don't put God in no box. You can't put him in no box. He's too wide. You can't go around him. Too high. You can't get over him. So no matter what the doctor says, no matter how the situation looks, stand tall. And keep your trust in God. Thomas, in John chapter 20, Gospel of John, chapter 20. The disciples say, hey man, where you been? We've seen the Lord. He's alive. Thomas said, yeah. He said, hey, you guys can do it. I'm not going to believe it until I can put my finger in the holes in his hands from those nails and in his side from the sword. Jesus came through the wall. Didn't even use the door. See, some of y'all don't know who it is we're serving. God is a great God. Came to the wall and said, okay, Thomas, put your hands in the holes. Put your finger in the holes of my hand in my side. Fell on his knees. He said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, yeah, you believe because you saw it. Now you're bowing down and worshiping. He said, well, blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. Glory be to God. Blessed are those who have not seen but still believe. May I ask then you a question this morning? What part does doubt have in your heart? What part does doubt have in your heart from getting the blessings of God and in your willingness to serve him and to trust him? Is there any doubt? Do you only trust him when there is fair weather? But when the storm comes, then begin to wonder, where is God? Is there a God? Why isn't he doing something? Why is this happening to me? All of us have asked that question. God, forgive us. Do we really trust him when the bills are paid up in full and when there's food in the house and when everything is going well with the children and all, doing well in school, everything's going well, we can shout then and get our little dance on. But when church is out and you get a little call on your cell and tell you, guess what happened? Then your heart dropped to the ground, oh Lord. We give up on God. So, Here is Martha. Now this is some examples of faith. Here's Martha. She said to Jesus in John chapter 11, that great text with the shortest verse, Jesus wept. John chapter 11. She said, "Lord, Martha, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here." See, Jesus doesn't have to be there. It's that great centurion who told him, say, no. I'm a military man. When I call this soldier and tell him come, he's better come. When I tell him go, he's better go. You, you're God Almighty. Speak the word only. You don't have to go. Give the command. You don't have to be there. Glory be to God. But Martha, you know, I love what she said. Around verses 21, 22, she says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now." What amount of faith is that? The man is dead for 4 days. Somebody says, you know, his body even began to decay and smell. 4 days already. But she said she had the trust, she had the faith to say, but even now, even though he's dead, even though he's been dead for 4 days, even now, I know that whatsoever you ask God, he will give it. Amen. Wow, Jesus looked at her and smiled. She said, come on, let's go get Lazarus. Old preachers say I had to call him by his name, or everybody else was going to get him. Say, Lazarus, come forth. Say, loose the man, let him go. Not only that, but we come to our text. It said about Simeon that he was devoted, he was righteous, he was reverent, he feared God, he was a just man, right? And he waited for the redemption of Israel, the consolation of Israel. Israel was scattered because of their disobedience. You know, it was just around 1948. Was it, Evans? 1948, when Israel became a nation again from Great Britain. After they were in charge of the country, they let them come back and they became a great today. Israel is a great nation, small, but great. Israel exports some of the best fruits in the world. And they've gone and take that old scrubland and fertilize it and fix up that soil. They raise the best crops in the world of fruits and vegetables. And every nation that have attempted to conquer Israel since then were defeated. Almost just like Bible times. The 7 Day War, or the 6 Day War, was it? Six or seven? 7 Day War. When Egypt and Syria decided they were going to conquer Israel. And you talk about two nations, Israel just a little handful. And so they're coming from Egypt, the tanks are coming. They're coming to destroy Israel. One soldier was out doing his morning run. He saw the tanks coming. This soldier was with the tank parade of Israel. He saw the dust. He saw them coming, all the other soldiers still in camp sleeping. And this soldier, one soldier, ran down to the tank and cranked it up and drove it up on the bluff like that and swung the guns around like this. And he went back down. He ran down to the next tank and he came up down here and he did the same thing. Just swung the guns around. He went back to the next one. And so the commander from the Egyptian group, he's looking through his binoculars and he saw that. And he sounded the alarm. He said, "Hold it, stop everything." He said, "It's a trap. It's a trap." He said, "They're waiting for us to get near enough and they're going to come up and get us. Let's go back." Then they turned back. By that time, the soldier had alerted the Israeli Air Force and those jets were in the air. And you know what happened. You know what happened. They destroyed Israel and Syria. One man. Just like God did things in the Old Testament. He is still God Almighty. And you and I need to trust him as such in all of our circumstances and situations. So Israel, even right now, as I speak, things are going on. I just caught the tail end of it, but I believe President Trump made some kind of attempt to remove the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, saying that because Jerusalem is the capital anyhow of Israel, and it is. I don't care what anybody say. And that land belonged to them. I realize the Palestinians are living there and all, and they have, but there's room for them, but that land belonged to Egypt, and to Israel, and in the long run, it's going to be theirs. I don't care what Russia or anybody else say. Waiting for the consolation, this man. He believed God was going to do what he promised, and so he waited around the temple. And when they took Jesus, 8 days old, to be dedicated to God, took him up in his arms, said, "Lord, okay now, Lord, you can let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes, I have seen your salvation." This is it. This is him. This is the one you have sent to take away the sins of the world, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of your people Israel. Then Anna. Here is Anna the prophetess. Now, if you do a little math, you'll see now this lady. So at that time, girls became women around the age 12. They were married off from age 12 to 15. It is believed that Mary was about between 15 and 17 when she got pregnant with Jesus. Between 15 and 17, it is believed. And so if you do some math now, let's say that she was between 12 and 15, Anna. She lived with her husband 7 years from her womanhood, 7 years. And if you do the math and take it away, now she's 84. So it would mean that she was in the temple around here praising God, fasting and prayed for some 65 years, 60 some years. If my math is right, Evans. Some 65 according to the timeline the Bible gives. See, not just Sunday morning from 9:30 till 11, then you start looking at your watch. Man, these preachers don't ever stop. 60-something years. She's in the temple fasting and praying. This is a tremendous thing. She had trust in God. Simeon had trust in God. Fasting and praying. If she was living in our day, 6 months after her husband died, she would be calling up, what's the name of those shows? I can't remember them. She would be calling to Dayton. What's the name of those shows? Come on now, you guys. Oh, Lord have mercy. What's the name of those shows, man, that you call to get a date on? They make a date for you. They send a guy for you. They send a girl for you. What's the name of the show? I guess I better leave that alone then. Okay. Y'all know those things. I can call and say, hey, I'm Garvey and I'm 79 years old. I need a lady. And they'll find somebody to match me. And they'll make the date for me and everything and all like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't watch all this stuff on TV, but every now and then I catch little glimpses of things. Am I right or wrong, church? If Anna was in our day, she wasn't going to wait no 65 some years in the temple praying and fasting. 6 months to a year or so, she would have another man. That's the order of our day. Folks don't wait for nothing. Men or women. Now Anna knew sorrow. 7 years with her husband, then he died. She knew sorrow. But she had not grown bitter. She didn't get bitter. She didn't lose her trust in God. She kept her trust in God. Sorrow can do one of two things. It can cause us to become bitter, angry with the world. I've known some bitter, angry people growing up as a boy, oh Lord, especially some of them older folks. They cuss you out and threaten you, and they're angry every time you see them. Husband died, wife died. Sorrow can do that to you. It make you become rebellious against everyone else, and especially against God. Either that or sorrow can make you a kinder person. It can break your spirit that you have been, you make you kind and compassionate and sensitive toward others who are going through the same thing. You know, that's what compassion is. Compassion is just saying, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, you know. Look at him, I'm so sorry for him. That's not compassion, really. Anybody can feel sorry. But going over, and the word for compassion coming out of the Greek and so forth means to get into the other person's situation. To put yourself in the other situation. So the good Samaritan got off his beast, went down, didn't he? He didn't just walk by and say, like the priests and the Levite did. They probably look at him and say, man. But he stopped, got in. Sorrow can make you compassionate. Hey, who was it? They gone? She said, what did she say this morning? She said, thank God for the experience Gail and Deborah had. See, it happened for them to show you that God is real, that God cares. They came through it, right? They got a testimony. So you can take it either way. Why did it happen to me? Why did I have to go through all this, the pain and all this? It can make your faith and your trust become deeper in God. See, when you go through problems and sorrow, it can make your faith get deeper in God. Put your trust deeper in God. She never ceased to hope. She never ceased to trust in God. When she arrived at the same time, she came up where Simeon was blessing the baby. And the Bible recorded. Anna and Simeon's action. Age. She was old. Simeon was old. That's another one. When we get old, we give up on things. Age can make you get bitter and angry too. Can't do the things you used to do. Age can kill hope in us. Or it can make us stronger. Joshua and Caleb. Caleb said, man, what are you talking about? Give me this piece of property right here. But Joshua said, man, it's flat ground. It's all good flat ground. Why you want this piece of scrub mountainside? Joshua said, listen. And I said, I was 80 and something when I was old. And he said, I was so fought and I'm this now. And he says, I'm just as strong now as I was then. Give me this mountain. That's the kind of spirit you've got to have. Young or old. Going through trouble, good times or bad times, that's the kind of spirit we need to have. Notice Anna, in all those years, she didn't stop worshiping. Bible said she spent all those years fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. She didn't cease to worship God. She didn't cease to pray. What about your trust in God this morning? Are you letting him use your life to his honor and glory? Are you standing tall and strong in good times and in bad times? It's easy again in the good times. And there's some situations that you get involved in is easier than I'm talking about it now because I've been there. You need to call on Jesus. The song says, call on Jesus. When you get in these situations, Satan will try to tell you it's all over. You're up against the wall, it's all over. You might as well forgive up. But that's when you need to call on Jesus and let him know. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a time. Some people think that it's going to be boring for eternity. But I want you to think about it. There are some folks I'm going to be happy to see. People who have been a blessing in my life. And have gone on to be with the Lord now. And when we get to heaven, there's going to be some long lines if it is down here. Standing in line to wait Paul. I can't wait to meet Paul and say, Paul, you're a bad boy. I'm going to tell you, I read about all you went through, how you stood tall when you were shipwrecked and when they whipped you until wounds were open on your back, when you knew every jail cell from Jerusalem to Rome, but you stood tall and you kept on for God until finally when you were leaving, you told the young man to preach the word, because I fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished my course, and there's laid up for me a crown. I'm going to tell Paul, you're a bad boy. It helped me to hold on, Paul, at some time. Not only that, but when I see Jesus, now that's when, now, but when I see Jesus, as the song says, when I see Jesus, the one who died for my sins, the one who took all of the dark pages in my life and washed them clean and make them as white as snow. When I see Jesus, that's going to be the crowning point. And say, Lord, I remember the night when I was in my dark place and I was ready to give up. Ready to give up, but I remember that night when you put your hands on my shoulder and you said, Sharon, it's going to be all right. When I see Jesus, one day. I've got so much to thank him for. What a day that is going to be. No wonder the songwriter said, when we all get to heaven, what a shouting, what a glory, what a time that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. May God bless you today. May you keep strong no matter what happens. Remember that God is real. He's still on the throne. He's God Almighty. Beside him, there is none other. And you don't have to worry about the storms of life, because he is in control. The disciples say, wake up. Don't you see we're getting ready to drown? The boat is in. Jesus wake up and say, man, peace, be still. The winds and the waves got quiet. Jesus went back to sleep, I imagine. Any storm in your life this morning? Any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Any mountains you can't seem to tunnel through? God specializes in things that are impossible. He does the things others cannot do. Put it in the hand of God. Will you stand, please?